that one. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In the tribulation, the Jew is going to hunger and thirst physically. And in the tribulation, you'll have to want righteousness so bad that you'll be willing to sacrifice for it. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you'll be willing to sacrifice your home. You'll be willing to sacrifice your job. You'll be willing to sacrifice all the things and luxuries of life. You're going to have to be able to if you're a Jew in a tribulation, or anyone that in that matter. And it's all that is stuff, just things that you have. Things that you have that it's just going to perish with the fire anyway. The Lord's going to destroy it. And so people are so in tune to things in this world. And you know, I'm the same way. I mean, you got to eat, you got to have clothes, you got to have a car, and it's nice to have nice things and everything. But when it comes to hungering and thirsting after righteousness, sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice some of those things, especially in the tribulation. And righteousness is the first prerequisite. And the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." It's not your own. We have no righteousness. It's God's righteousness. And so that's in, I think it's in Matthew 6. And it's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so when he says that, he's talking to Jews as well, saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the righteousness of God we know is Jesus Christ. The Jews are thinking right now that they're righteous, especially the leaders. The leaders. And the Lord's going to hammer on the leaders throughout the book of Matthew. But what they're thinking is that, well, we keep the law and we keep the outward things, and we make sure that we're dressed right, and we make sure that our hair is combed right, and all this other stuff, and we've got the right garments on, and yet their hearts are bad because they're not seeking after the righteousness of God. They're thinking that the law, they're righteous because they're keeping the law, and it's not the case. And that's where that Jew's mindset is at right now. And that makes you righteous before men. Men see your good things, and they say, "Oh, look at there. There's a righteous man. Look at what he's doing." But God's looking at the heart, and that's the issue here. You can't get into the kingdom of God until you repent as a Christian. Okay, as an unsaved believer or unsaved person today, you cannot get into the kingdom of God unless you repent and you seek after God's righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. You got to turn to God for His righteousness. The same goes for the Jew. He cannot get into the kingdom of God until he repents and turns to God's righteousness. And that's what the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's God's righteousness. The Bible says in verse 6, "For they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, this doesn't take place until the millennium. Go with me, if you would, to Ezekiel 36. For the Jew, this doesn't take place until the millennium. 36:25. The Bible says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." Remember when he was talking to Nicodemus? And he says, "Ye must be born again." He's talking to a Jewish leader. It's a Jewish context. And so the Jews will get born again. And even he, and Nicodemus is questioning him, "How can a man be born again? How can he, you know, I don't understand this." And Jesus says, "You must be born of the water and the Spirit." And then he also goes on, he kept questioning and questioning and questioning. And he says, "You're a leader in Israel and you don't know these things? So the leaders are supposed to know that they must be born again. And so they will get born again. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So the full prophecy isn't fulfilled until the millennium, until the beginning of the millennium, after the Jews come through the tribulation. Also Joel 2, there we go. Joel 2.
Where's this at?
Okay, we've already been here before, but verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And so there's a point in time where that Jew is going to be born again in the millennium. And that's after he calls upon the Lord when they're in Mount Zion, and the Lord comes back after him, comes back to save him. Go with me if you would to Acts 2. Here you have the filling. You have somebody being filled here. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so here you have the representatives of the nation of Israel here being filled with the Spirit. And so what that is, that's what that's telling you, it's a partial fulfillment here, and it's a picture of the whole nation being fulfilled or filled at the second coming. And so there's hints of it all throughout the Scriptures. Now, also, this can be applied today. It can be applied today. Go with me, if you would, to Romans 10. Romans 10. One through four. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. I'm in the wrong chapter. Brethren, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so here we go, have a Christian today. You can be filled today with the Holy Spirit of God by believing the gospel, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and you now have the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. There's an operation of God done, and he cuts your body away from your spirit and your soul, and you're sealed. And that's a filling. Jesus Christ is righteousness. And so if a man hungers and thirsts after righteousness today, he's going to get Jesus. He's going to be seeking Jesus, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. A Jew in the tribulation doesn't get that filling until the very end, when Jesus Christ comes back. Verse 7, Matthew 4, 7, or 5, 7. Still running a million miles a minute here. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, when Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming, he's going to gather all the nations. He's going to gather them all around him. And what does he do? He dispenses mercy. He dispenses mercy to those that were merciful, and he dispenses judgment to those that were not merciful. They weren't merciful to the Jew. When the Jew was looking for something to eat, when he was going around house to house trying to find something to drink, because the waters are bitter, and they didn't give him anything, then that was not showing mercy. That was not showing mercy, and they're not showing mercy to God's people. That's like not showing mercy to God. And so, let's go with me. Go with me, if you would, to James 2. James 2. 2:12. Is that it? Yep. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Because we're going to go through a couple things, but I mean, if you're merciful to somebody, even though you could have judgment upon them, if their heart's right, you can show mercy. The Lord does it throughout the whole Old Testament. And they've violated the law. And if their heart is right, the Lord shows them mercy. If their heart is not right, the Lord doesn't show them mercy. If they don't take care of the Jew, if they don't take care of the Jew in the tribulation, then what'll happen is found in Matthew 7. When they come to the Lord, and they have to give an account. Matthew 7:22. And the Bible says, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So it appears as though if your name's not in the book, in the book of life, God doesn't know you. He doesn't know anything about you. You're just like an animal. You're just a creature standing before him that he doesn't have any. He doesn't know. And he has to send them away because he has no idea who they are. He doesn't know their name. We, if you're saved, you get a new name. You get a new name written down in heaven. Your name is written in the book of life. He knows you. But for somebody that never trusted in Jesus Christ, they're not going to be known to God. And what is the will of the Father? That you take care of that Jew. That Jew, if he's in need and you see him in need, and if you don't see him in need, you're to go to him and try and help him. If you know that they're in prison, you got to go visit them. If you know that there's some Jews hungering and thirsty, you got to do whatever you can to get them food and get them water. Matthew 25. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the Lord shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also," that's the mercy part, "also," and mercy's coming first, "also," then he says, "then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." That's the Lord telling them to depart from me. "I never knew you. Ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them. They see, they thought they were ministering by casting out these devils. They thought they were ministering by saying his name. But what the will of the Father is here is that they take care of the Jew, take care of his own, because that's taking care of himself. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. When God says, hey, this is what I want you to do, do you believe the scriptures? Do you believe what the Lord wants you to do? Well, that'll show you, your heart will manifest, and your actions will manifest out of your heart. And you'll listen to the Lord on these items. And if their heart isn't right, they're not going to listen. They won't believe the scriptures. And if they don't believe one part of the scriptures, they're not going to believe another part. And so you'll have people taking the mark of the beast. The Lord says, hey, he doesn't want you taking the mark. Why would you take it? You're going to give up eternal life for the pleasures of sin for a season? So for today, it will be good for you in the long run and in the short run to give people space. Let's see where we're at here. Five. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so, just as God is giving you space to grow, He wants you to give other Christians the same space that He gives you. We have to preach against things on the pulpit, and you have to preach against sin, and you have to teach your children against sin, and you have to set a high standard, but you have to show mercy, and you got to have, there's a fine line there. There's a fine line. Just think back what some of the things that the Lord has shown us through the preaching up here on the pulpit with Brother Dave. There's a lot of things that has changed in our lives over the years, with different things, with the way we eat, or what we believe we can eat. I didn't know you can eat all this stuff when you start studying the scriptures, and hey, everything is lawful. Everything, even the Twinkie. Some people choose not to eat it, but I mean, it's lawful for you to eat. Same thing with the holidays, the Christmas holidays, in particular. I mean, I haven't put up a tree for 8-9 years. It's been a while. And everybody, they ask me, there's something wrong with you. Because, I mean, my brothers and sisters, they still do that. But there's something wrong with you. You're just not right because you don't do that. But, I mean, do you go saying, oh, hey, you're going to hell because you put up a tree, even though you got to give people space. Not everybody's going to see what we see here. It just doesn't work like that. I mean, it takes time. And so we got to be careful to show mercy to people and just to be long-suffering, because the Lord is long-suffering to everybody. Okay, where am I at here? Look at Matthew 7:1. Matthew 7:1. The Bible says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And so the idea here is you're better off looking on how you can show mercy than how you can judge. Because if you show mercy, the Lord's going to show mercy to you. And if you're always judging, hey, eventually you're going to slip up and everybody's going to be pointing their finger at you because they're going to be watching for it. Especially if you're hard on people and just not giving anybody any space. I mean, you could grow up in church all your life, and there's still some things you may think he should know everything, but there may be things that they don't understand yet. There may be, I mean, yeah, sure, they're taught, but maybe the Lord hasn't really taught them yet. And so you got to be careful. You got to be real careful to, you know, any way you can try to show mercy. And that's what I've learned out there on the job with my dad. I mean, I asked him, is there a time where I could fire somebody? He says, no, you can't fire anybody. You got handcuffs on, and they're behind your back. There's nothing you can do. You got to take it, whatever they give you. And I'm like, oh, okay. But seeing him deal with people, he's always giving them a break every chance he can. I've never seen him fire anybody out there, and he can. And I can't. I still can't. But now after that, you don't want to. You try to look for avenues where you can help the guy and say, okay, well, you know, you're not listening there, but maybe if you try this route, or, you know, give him another chance, it's just long-suffering, eventually they want to work for you. We've had the same crew working for us since we started the job. They don't want to leave. Every time we do something, they come back over and want to work for us. And so it's a pain at times, and they try to walk all over you because they know you're not swearing, and they know you're a Christian, you go to church and everything like that, and they try to, every way they can, they try and inch you, you know, try to get something from you. But sometimes you got to be hard, but the idea is anywhere you can show mercy, that's where what you want to do. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Okay, well, if you're always judging other Christians and saying, well, look at this, when it's time for you to get mercy, what's the Lord going to do? Is he going to give you mercy? Or is he going to be hard on you like you were hard on his children? That's the idea there. He'll show mercy unto those that show mercy. And he'll judge those that judge. So if you want to escape judgment, judge yourself. Don't judge others. You'll escape judgment, because then you won't be getting into trouble that you want to be getting into. All right. Here's an interesting point. If you look at the Ark of the Covenant, what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The law. What's sitting on top of the law? The mercy seat. That's something, isn't it? Now, you can't despise the law, as we'll see. You can't despise the law, because look at Hebrews 8:12. I think that's where it is. No, Hebrews 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. What did Saul do when he was rebuked? What did he do? Did he say, oh, Lord, I'm a sinner? No, what did he blame the people? He's always putting the blame to something else. Instead of realizing that the law was convicting him of sin, he tried to put it somewhere else because his heart wasn't right. And then you find David, Nathan came to him? Yeah, Nathan. About Bathsheba, what did he do? He sinned against God and against heaven and against everything. There's a difference in the heart there. And so God's wanting to show mercy. David's not despising the law, even though he broke it. But when the law convicted him of that sin, what did he do? He repented. And so God is able to show mercy. He's wanting to show mercy. That's why the law isn't on top of the mercy seat. It's underneath. Mercy first. God would rather show you mercy than to judge you. He knows how we are, what frailty we are of, and what we're made of. The law is important because it's God's words, but you can't despise the law. Otherwise, that's what happens. You get judged. You die without mercy. Matthew 8, or 4, 8, 5, 8. There we go again. I gotta hurry. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. At the second coming, the pure in heart will see God coming with his holy angels, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Not only that, but it looks like Jesus is going to make an appearance in the tribulation, mid-tribulation. He's going to make an appearance to the believers. And that's found in Revelation 10. In verse 1 and 2, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And Brother Dave's got some references that you can go ahead and cross-reference there to find out that the angel could be the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be Jesus Christ, an angel. When the Bible mentions an angel, it can be Jesus Christ. And so, a believer today, he has a purified heart. But he hasn't seen God. He hasn't seen God. His heart's been purified through the scriptures, through faith. But he hasn't seen God. We will someday, but we haven't yet. And the Jew will actually get to see him while they're alive. And I think some of us will, if the Lord comes back in time, unless he comes back like 100 years from now, and none of us sitting here will see him alive anyway. But they get to see him alive, whoever endures to the end and survives. Verse 9, Matthew 5:9. I'm going to hurry. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, God has entrusted every believer on the face of this earth with the ministry of reconciliation. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. I'll go ahead and read it. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so all believers have this ministry. And what that you get faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what you're doing is you're delivering to people faith, the words of God. That's what you're doing. And look in Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you bring somebody God's faith, his words, you're justified by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're being a peacemaker, because what you're trying to do is get them to be reconciled to God. If you're an unbeliever, you're God's enemy. If you're a believer, you're not his enemy. Simple as that. And he doesn't want to destroy you. He wants you to have peace with him. And so a believer in this day is he's a peacemaker. If he's doing what the Lord tells him to do and he's trying to reconcile on the unsaved to God, he's trying to bring peace between those two people. Same thing when you see your brothers and sisters, maybe you don't get along, maybe there's somebody that's not getting along, and you try and rectify the problem and try and get those people back together somehow. That's being a peacemaker. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, you can be a peacemaker and act and do all these things and not believe, and somebody sure will might call you, oh, that guy's a child of God. Look at what he's doing. Look at all the good things that he's doing. But, I mean, to be a child of God, there's a certain thing that you have to do. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can be called a child of God and not be a believer, just by doing good things. Somebody would mistake that for being a child of God. In the tribulation, you'll have 144,000 Jews, and they'll be peacemakers. They'll be going about trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in James 3:18. And then we'll try and wrap this up. James 3:18. The Bible says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so there's some fruit. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. You're trying to get people to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they're not God's enemy anymore. Because you can't come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. And so these 144,000 Jews will be preaching to the unsaved and to the world and trying to get them reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can't be done apart from that. Verse 10, and we'll try and wrap up real quick. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Let's see what we got here. The blessings that come with that. 1 Peter 3:14. That's not it. How about 2:19? I'm in 2 Peter. 3:19. No, that's not it either. 3:14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. We went through it the last time I was here, where what does blessed mean? It means happy. You're happy. You're doing stuff, something for the Lord. Somebody's persecuting you. You may not want to feel happy, but at some point in your life, if you're happy about it, it's when you know that they're not doing this to you. It's not a personal vendetta against you. 3:14. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, look at that. Amen. And so the idea is if you, when your heart is right, you'll be doing things right for the Lord, for the Lord's sake, and in the Lord's person. And you won't care if somebody's reviling you, and you won't care if they're persecuting you, because you'll know that it's not against you. But I'll tell you what, there's times on the street where the Lord will test you. And you'll be out there, and you'll be preaching, and down in Lafayette especially, they're mocking you and laughing you and swearing at you and everything you can think of. Threatening you. You've been down there, Brother Jeremy, and that's what happens, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget, a guy got saved down there. I got to win a guy to a Lord, a young kid about 17 years old. And he goes, you know what? Afterwards, he said, I've been watching you for 6 weeks down here. Well, these kids, my buddies, have been, you know, swearing at you and mocking you and making fun of you. And you never even not got mad, not once. And so you never know who you're witnessing to. Maybe the guy that's over there, that's sitting there, not even saying anything, just sitting quietly and watching. And so you just never know. And so that's why your heart's got to be right, and why you're doing the Lord's work. And we'll stop right there and go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your words. Thank you for allowing us to have them, Lord. We've got a great thing in this country, and we pray that we would study them daily and read them as much as we can, Lord, while we're here on this earth. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.